Good morning. I'm Coach Jake. This is Coach Bob right here.
Good to see you all. We need to make longer videos. We still have people taking money. I'll talk while they do that, okay? You can see that we have the Lord's Supper here today. And I have always had an interest in the person who was the first time person in church. I remember one Sunday I was preaching a very religious sermon, and I looked back to the back, and there was a guy that came in, looked like he was in distress, sitting as far back as he could be. I don't blame him. That's where I would sit. He was all the way back there, and about halfway through my sermon, he got up and walked out the door. And I've never forgotten that. That is the very last thing I ever want to have happen to anybody. And so when you look at this, this looks pretty religious. And yet, kind of take all the religious trappings away and realize this is the way Jesus comes, one of his ways to meet with people. That's why it's called communion. He wants to commune with you. So it's not about a little wafer and it's not a little cup of juice. It is about the Lord who wants to meet with you. Okay? So when we serve this in a few minutes, I want you to say, okay, Lord, it's been a while since I met you, if that's where you are. But today, I want to meet with you. I want to connect with you. I want you to feed me. I want you to touch me. Jake is going to tell a really interesting and, I think, important story for us to hear. And while he tells that story, you think about, okay, Lord, how can I not turn my back to you, but how can I come and give you my face and how I can connect with you? And I pray that for many, many, many of us here today, it will happen right as we participate in this supper. Okay? So let's pray, and then Jake is going to talk to us a little bit. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for how you love us. Thank you for the things that you do in our lives. Lord, we do today pray for Josh, and we pray for Amanda, and we ask that they're having a really good day today. We pray that you'll bring them back safely from their little trip and help them to just have your strength, your Holy Spirit strength for the next days. And Lord, we know there are other people here who've brought a boatload of issues. Lord, probably everybody here has something in the back of their mind that is a very deep and pressing concern. And Lord, you're the answer, and you're here today. You're not distant somewhere off on another planet. Yes, Lord, you're there and beyond, but you're also right here in our midst. And I pray that you'll help us as we listen to Jake, and I pray that you'll help us as we participate in this time of communing with you, that you will meet those needs and come and do in us what only you can do. We ask you for that and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So today we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5. If you guys want to turn there, if you have a Bible, we'll have it up on screen here in a little bit. We're finishing up a series today called our Momentum Series. And so it's all been about how do you get started in a good direction in your life? How do you get making good decisions that lead into more good decisions, lead into a more full life? And so the very first week we talked about how you've got to accept Jesus and you've got to ask for his help from the inside out. You've got to ask for God's power to come in and start changing you from the inside. Last week we talked about this idea of getting very practical. We had the don't break the chain. Hopefully if you guys are here, you've got a calendar with a bunch of red X's on it. But that whole thing was about let's actually get practical and set a goal and let's move in a good direction. Let's start actually becoming better people. Let's actually start taking steps with Jesus. So today, our final series, the whole series has been leading up to this. And about 6 weeks ago, I was worshiping right over there in this little short pew as we were singing on Sunday morning. I felt like God gave me this little seed of an idea or of a story even. And that's the way my brain works. So we're kind of in for a little bit of a trip today. I'm sorry. But when I try to get my head around something that's a really big truth, or like a living truth, I tend to think in stories. And so we're going to talk through a parable or a short story that I made up today. But the whole point of the parable is to teach us something real about us, teach us something really about how we relate to God. So our story today is called Walking Walter. And you've guessed it, it's about a guy named Walter. And so Walter wasn't, didn't really stick out very much in the way that he looked. His average build, average height, he didn't have flashy jeans, he didn't have crazy hair. But if you met Walter, there's one weird thing that would definitely stick out to you about him. And that's that he was always walking. And I don't just mean that like he didn't have a car or that he had a Fitbit or something like that. I mean, he was always walking. When he was asleep, he was walking. When he was eating, he was walking. When he was filling out his taxes, like all of us are probably going to rush to do here in a couple weeks, he was walking, even with all that paperwork. So all the time he was walking. Doctors debated about what to call his condition, but everybody in town just called him Walking Walter because he's always walking everywhere, you know? So he's got these old, wore-out tennis shoes that he wears because he's walking all the time. Well, the only job that Walter could hold down because he's constantly pacing and moving is a delivery job. So if anybody needed anything delivered around town, well, why go there yourself? Because Walter's pacing around the whole town. You might as well just have Walter go deliver it for you. So he would greet everybody. He got to meet everybody in town. He saw them all every day. And he would say, you know, hi, Aaron, and wave and smile at him. Knew everybody by name. And everyone would greet him warmly. But the reality is, if someone's just waving at you and walking away, it's hard to really ever become friends with somebody like that. And the truth of it is, Walter was constantly walking and nobody else was. And so since he was always moving and he never stood still and had a conversation, he didn't really make any good relationships. He didn't really have any friends. And that's kind of a sad spot, but our story begins when that began to change. So one morning, while Walter was walking, like he always did, he's pacing even more than I'm doing right now, walking constantly, he saw this yellow lark, this beautiful little bird, and it sang a little bit of a song, and then it darted a little bit, and then it sang a little bit of a song, and it darted a little bit. And Walter was so intrigued with how pretty this little bird was that he decided to follow it. And so as it's darting back and forth and all around, he just is watching it and listening to its little song and walking, walking, walking with it. Well, he walks for quite a while, and suddenly the little lark shoots off into the air, and Walter loses sight of it. And he looks around, and he realizes he's up on these green hills that surrounded a lot of the town that he lived in, and there are these pretty green hills, there are these garden hills, but nobody ever really went up there from the town because it took a hike to get up there. So even though everybody saw them, nobody really paid any attention to them. And so Walter realizes he's stepped right into the middle of this garden. There's these beautiful curving patterns of flowers, and there's orchards up further up the hill. And he looks down at his feet, and it smells great because he's been stepping in all these like mint leaves, these little mint plants. And so he starts to be kind of like, oh gosh, what am I doing? Like as he's walking. And somebody calls out to him, and he turns around. He's walking backwards now as he looks at this person. And this guy has really dirty hands and dirt all down his front, and real dirty knees. And the guy introduces himself as the gardener of these hills. Walter's kind of nervous, but the gardener says, do you want to walk with me? You know, normally I don't get visitors from the town. Do you want to walk with me through this garden? And so Walter doesn't normally get to walk with other people, so he's excited about that. And the two of them start to walk and have a conversation about all these different beautiful plants that are around that smell so great or look so attractive. And they get to this grove of orange trees, and Walter starts asking about them, and the gardener says, like, oh, yeah, these are blood oranges. And Walter's never heard of blood oranges before, and he's like, they look like regular oranges. So the gardener kind of chuckles at that, and he pulls one off the tree, and he slices it open, and he tosses it to Walter. And Walter sees on the inside, it doesn't look like a regular orange. It's this deeper red on the inside. The gardener says, well, take a taste of it. So Walter sticks a big slice in his mouth. And if you've grown up your whole life eating fruit out of a store, and you take a big bite of an orange right off a tree, you'll probably do what Walter did, which is like juice just explodes out of his mouth because it's so juicy. There's juice running down his chin, this red juice, and the flavor just pops. It's like three-dimensional flavor, and he's been living in like a 2D world before that. You know, it's like this amazing flavor, this tangy, a little bit bitter, but mostly sweet blood orange. If you've ever had a fresh blood orange, they're awesome. So it has this awesome flavor. Stuff's running down his chin. He says, like, how have I gone my whole life living so close to this place and never had this fruit before? But as he's wiping off all that juice from his chin, he looks up in the sky and he notices the sun has really gotten high in the sky. And he's like, oh no, I'm late for work. I've got to go. So he starts to hurry off, and the gardener calls out to him. He doesn't chase him, but he calls out to him like, come back tomorrow and we'll take another walk through the rest of the garden. So Walter goes, he does his deliveries that day, but he's still thinking about the garden all day long. And so the next morning, bright and early, when the dew is still out, he trudges up and his red sneakers are all soggy and squishy as he's walking, and he walks back up to that hill, and he starts to do that day in and day out. Every morning he makes this hike to go walk with the gardener. And so they take these hikes through the garden. The gardener shows them all these different things about the plants and starts to expose them to all these new plants and the new fruits and vegetables that he's either not had before or he's not had the real version of before. And eventually the gardener stops him and says, even though Walter's still walking, but they stop their conversation, and the gardener says, you know, I've started to share all this stuff with you. It's time for you to start to share it with the people down in the town. So Walter already has this delivery business, so he just starts giving out, you know, a vine-ripened tomato or a handful of blueberries or some fresh produce from the garden to everybody around town. And so Walter begins to spread what the gardener has produced all over the town. So that's our story about walking Walter, which we did have copies. They've mostly disappeared, actually. There's still some copies right over there. I'll print some more right after church. But if you want a hard copy of the whole story, I cut some stuff out here for us today. Feel free to pick one of those up or go on our Facebook page and look it up so you can read the whole story there. But I wanted to tell us that part of the story, or that version of the story, to get across two truths that I think are really important. One of them is kind of hard to understand. It's hard for me to understand, at least, so sorry that I'm the one explaining it to you guys, but here's the first truth. Walking Walter, what was his deal? Why did you make up a story with a guy that had to walk all the time? Well, it's because humans are always moving. And none of us in this room, obviously you guys are all sitting down, none of us in this room are constantly pacing back and forth like I just did during the sermon. Nobody is like that in real life. So what do I mean people are always moving? Well, think back to the kids that you used to be best friends with in first grade. Think about the stuff you talked with them about, the stuff you got excited about. Now imagine if tomorrow morning that kid who you were best friends with in first grade was somehow magically at your work or at, you know, walking beside you on the sidewalk. Would you still be best friends with that kid if he was magically still the first grader that you knew? Would you still want to really talk to him about like the sugary cereal you got to eat that morning, or hear about this, you know, these new pogs or whatever was big when you were a little kid? No, because you have changed. And the reality is whoever you were friends with in first grade, they've changed a lot too. And most of our friendships from that period don't even last because people change. We change and they change too. Every person always changes. We're not like God. We can't just say like, this is who I am, and I'm that way all the time. As humans, we have mood swings that put us up and down. You can't just say at the beginning of the day, today is going to be a happy day. I wrote it on my calendar. So I'm just going to be happy all day. I chose that emotion. I checked that box. So I'm happy all day. Or all of us have had a moment, maybe around January some year, where we said, I want to get in good shape. And we really meant it. We really meant, I'm going to eat better and I'm going to work out every day. The reality is, though, most of us probably didn't work out this morning or yesterday. Some of us, I'm sure, did. But so if we really had that thought, that devotion in one moment, how come we didn't just do it for the next 60 years of our lives or whatever? Well, it's because as humans, we're always bouncing. We can never just keep that motivation the exact same on how we feel. We can't just keep our emotions the exact same. We can't even keep us the exact same. If somebody, you know, if that if that first grader tried to just sit at home and not change, I'm not going to like anything new, I'm not going to do anything new, I'm not going to change, it wouldn't matter. Like, he would still change, even if he sat on a couch and didn't watch any new shows or something. He would still go through changes. And we can't stop changing as humans. We always are moving. So the question becomes, how do we have a long-term relationship? How do we have a deep relationship? Walter struggled in his early life to ever really have true friendship because he was always moving. And if you, in your own life, you think, I've changed a lot, think about what are those relationships that have actually lasted. When someone gets married and they have a good marriage, it's not that they get married at 25 and that husband and wife stay the same the next 40 or 60 years. It's that they've made a choice to journey together. They've made a choice that, yep, we're moving, but we're going to stay side by side as we move somewhere. If we want to have a long-term relationship with God, we've got to be like Walter. We've got to say, I want to walk with God. We've got to say, every morning, I've got to make the choice to hike the hill to spend time with God. The reality is God doesn't have to move. God can stay on the Garden Hill if he wants to, but Walter couldn't stay up there. He had to make a new choice every day. And for us in the room, if you made a great commitment to God 5 years ago, and you know your name's Marley and you're struggling to listen right now in the back, if you did that, it still doesn't affect you today. That decision won't carry you today. The decisions that were made this morning in baptism, those were awesome decisions. But if those people just think like that's going to carry me the rest of my life, that's a mistake. And actually, as in my conversations with them, I know they don't think that. You see, as people, we have to make the choice every day to walk with God. We have to say, today's a new day. What I did yesterday, that's great, but I've got to start fresh with God today. I got to go somewhere with God today. Because see, wherever you went with God yesterday, that was wonderful, but God has something new for you today. God wants to take you on a journey today somewhere. He wants to show you something new. You can't live off the past or live off your good intentions of the past. So our first idea, it's a big thought, but think about it, the fact that you're always moving, that this time next week you will be a different person than you are right now. And this time 5 minutes from now, just like our weather, you'll be different. Humans are Missouri weather, you know? Our emotions are all over the place. You have to keep making the choice to return to God. You have to keep making the choice of, I'm going to walk beside God. As I change, I'm going to change with God. So that's point number one. I've got 2 points for this story. So here's the second one. This one's a little easier, I think, to get our head around. How does the Christian walk work? It's real basic, I think. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means to go spend time with Jesus, to get fruit from him, to get goodness from him, and then to share that goodness with somebody else. All of us have had this experience of going to Price Chopper and getting a tomato and tasting it. And if that's all you've ever known, it seems fine. Most of us probably had the experience of going to somebody's garden and having a tomato right off the vine. And that can almost be a whole meal. You know, you get the salt shaker out there and like, why even go to the dinner table? Let's just eat this tomato right here. This is delicious. It really is the difference of like looking at a picture of the ocean and stepping into the ocean. It's like a three-dimensional experience to eat something fresh off the tree or fresh off the vine. Some of us in our life, we've never really experienced the goodness of God. And so we don't have that type of goodness to share. But that's what Christianity is about. It's about saying, God, I want to spend time with you. I want to experience things with you. I want you to work on me. And then I'm going to share that with other people. And you can't take that stuff and just hold on to it. It's got to be fresh. My wife and I had a garden last year and the year before. And 2 years ago, we had tons of tomatoes left in October, but they were all green. They were all about this big. And it was about to freeze. So I asked my parents, well, you know, what do I do with all these tomatoes? They said, we'll put them in brown bags and just put them in your basement and they'll ripen up. Well, it took them like a month or 2 months to ripen up. And when I reached into that bag and got out a finely red tomato, what I realized is what I'd done is I'd gotten basically a tomato from Price Chopper. Like, it tasted just like the tomatoes you would get at Hy-Vee or at Aldi. It tasted the same as that. It didn't have a lot of juice. It didn't have a lot of flavor. And I was like, what are they doing? Are these tomatoes sitting in someone's basement for months, green, in a brown bag? Probably not. I don't know what they do to the tomatoes, but it wasn't the same as what I was expecting. It wasn't the garden tomato. So let's talk about this. I've shared a lot of thoughts from my strange head today, but let's talk about this biblically. Where does this all come from? Well, in Galatians chapter 5, Paul writes this. He says, the fruit of the Spirit, it means what comes of spending time with God or who God is, the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, forbearance. Some people will translate that as patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So this idea, when we spend time in God's garden, when we hang out with God, the things that he exposes us to is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I think all of us have met somebody in our life who's probably got some joy, or we've met somebody who's faithful, who you can count on in a hard time, or we've met somebody who's gentle, and we respect that in them. I'm here to tell you, if you've met somebody that has one of these traits that doesn't know Jesus, nothing bad against them. That's a good trait, but it is like a Price Chopper tomato. It isn't the fullness of what God has. When we talk about God's love or God's gentleness or God's self-control, it is like that orange off the tree that'll shock you, that'll explode juice out of your mouth because it's got like five times as much juice as you expected in it, and it's so much flavor that you didn't expect. When we start to fill ourselves with the things of God, we start to have fruit right off the vine in our life. Our joy, our patience starts to break everyone's expectations. Makes people not want to eat the food that they can get anywhere else. They just want to come back to this place and get the stuff straight off the tree. For us, we can be that type of person that starts to have these traits in that fresh way. But the way that we do that, how do we actually have those fruits in us? Well, if we back up, or actually we go down a little bit farther, sorry, we jump a few verses down in Galatians. Paul says, since we live by the Spirit, he says, since our best life possible is found in the Holy Spirit, is found in Jesus, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So Paul has already got this idea that I was trying to get across with Walking Walter, that as humans, we're going somewhere. We're moving somewhere. We're taking steps every day. The question is, are we taking steps with Jesus, going on a journey with Jesus, or are we taking steps away from Jesus? Even if you are a great person today, if you don't take a step with Jesus today, guess what? You're taking a step away from Jesus. Every day that you don't go somewhere good with Jesus is a day that you went away from Jesus. And so just like Walter had to make a new choice every day to say, I want to walk, even though it's going to take effort, even though most people are too lazy to do it, I'm going to walk through the dew and up the hill, and I'm going to walk with God. And as God starts to give you good things in your life, starts to fill you with those fruits, starts to free you from worry and free you from addiction, he's going to start to put into you these juicy, amazing fruits of patience and kindness and goodness and self-control. But it's not just a hoard, and it's not to stick in a brown bag in your basement for when you really want it later. It's to share right away. It's to say, who's in my life to give some of this fruit to today?